Yes, I was in charge of getting the bebé to sleep tonight, so I was in with him until pretty much just now.
Okay. And you dashed downstairs to drink beer.
Dashed downstairs to drink beer. Needs must. I am Ross. Joining me is my co-host Ian, and talking mostly about our lengthy facial hair, we are attempting to drink Nova Scotia dry. Now the thing is, before we did say let's start talking about the beer. Before we get directly into the beer, the conversation is, yes, Ian is growing his mustache for a role, an on-stage theatrical role. I am also growing this out at the moment just so that I have options.
Right.
For a upcoming role.
You're going to be the oldest person in the world.
I am going to be the oldest person. I am the old man. It's a play about a council. So a council that meet together, and my character, one of his lines is, well, I've been on this council for 39 years. And they all say, oh, hands down, I'm the oldest one here. And so I keep trying to do the math on that. Joining the council, so if you have been on the council for 39 years now, because what if you joined when you were like very young? If you join in your mid to late 20s, then you could still be... Yep. Well, like 68, late 60s. So I think late 60s is a low ball, all the way up to including, you know, 107 years old in my mind kind of thing. So I wander back and forth. We did a quick read through, and it's usually my method of I'll just do it and like kind of cartoonishly put it over the edge until the director finally says to me, you know, you gotta bring it back just a little tiny bit.
Yeah. Yep. That's always go too big, and then they can dial it down. Don't go the other way.
That's often what I've done. And then even even just in the read through. But since we're at a table anyway, and so we have to try to add some physicality to it. I said, oh, okay. Well, everywhere, anytime you've got a motion where, I've got a little bit at the beginning where I complain about parking spaces. So I figure, okay, well, if I'm gonna complain, this is my only chance to be noticed or physical in this entire play, because for the most part I just sort of sit there and say, yes, I vote for this and I don't vote for that. But and so I decided to stand up, and as I stood up, it took me a minute because the chair got caught, so I just went, oh, wait a minute, I'm really old. So I kind of hunched as I stood, and I was standing there and I was kind of like holding my back and doing all the, you know that if you've ever seen a really old frail man stand up and try to take a stand but then realize that this was not the best plan in the world. I think someone pointed out at the end of it saying, oh, and Ross's character, who's apparently suffering from lower back issues. I'm like, I'm an old man. What do you want me to do? Of course I'm suffering from lower back issues. But we always say when we do a show that you should differentiate yourself from everyone else, from people that are on stage. Because if everyone looks exactly the same, if you have all got, you know, clean shaven and a short haircut and kind of brown hair, then you all look exactly the same. And I realized that if I went clean shaven trying to look, I don't know, old, then I'd look exactly like two or three of the others that are already there. Yeah. And I think, well, no one else is doing this, so I might need to actually whiten this more.
And right.
So Brittany says, maybe you can get that stuff. What's that stuff you can get in the drugstore? That great looking gray, I think, is the product that used to be a big thing, where it goes from this salty, peppery, half and half kind of stuff, and just says, you know what? White. Let's just go whoosh, gorgeous, beautiful, totally white hair. Okay, look at that. We'll see how that goes. Anywho, beer. Beer and dessert stouts, despite the fact that when I announced this on Facebook, it got about the most conversation going in many of our posts in the Maritime Beer, the Maritime Beer Group on Facebook. But someone said,
"Was getting a lot the sweet thing."
Yeah.
Danny Cormier was saying, or something.
Yeah. And I said, you don't drink too many of them, but no, I mean, we like a good chocolate stout, and the only thing we don't like is if the imperial ones, and they get a little bit too rich. But of these two dessert, kind of sweetened and almost novelty sweetened flavored stouts that we've got here. They're not just a dessert stout, they say. So for the first one from Paddy's, the lower alcohol percentage of the two coming in at 4.7% alcohol by volume is Paddy's Brew Pub in Wolfville and Kentville. The Campfire S'mores, or Campfire S'mores, and I'm just realizing now it says S'mores Porter. And now I feel real stupid because it's a porter and not a stout. So for a dessert stout, this is already a porter. We're already off to a terrible start at the moment, but whatever. It's a dark beer and it tastes like candy.
How many times have we cracked a stout and said, this is more like a porter in its essence, and vice versa. We've drunk porters and said, this is thicker and richer than a porter and it's more stouty. So let's just see. These are winter, as far as you can tell, sweet, dark offerings.
Yeah. That would have been a good title for the. I'll write that down. Sweet Dark Offerings. On the can, because I can't find it on the website there, because, well, lots of different reasons, but they don't usually update with all of their new brews on there. I think it's been in the can for a little while at their stores. At the two pubs, Paddy's is Nova Scotia's pioneering craft microbrewery with brew pubs in Kentville and Wolfville in 1995. The only way to enjoy a fresh beer was to make it ourselves. Okay, I'm reading the wrong one. Never mind. Campfire S'mores. There are strange things done in the brewhouse sun by the men who boil for gold. Their chocolate trails have their bitter tales that would make your beer run cold. And this beer has many strange things done indeed. Oh, we've given up on the limerick immediately.
Given up on.
And this beer has many strange things done indeed. 20 pounds of graham crackers, cocoa powder, and cocoa nibs make Campfire S'mores a roasty, bitter chocolate porter with a hint of s'moresy goodness. Cheers.
Mm.
Sounds like a lot of graham cracker. And is it going to be one of these things like the, I don't want to keep bringing up the Donaire beer, but if it doesn't focus on the flavors that define a multi-flavored thing. I don't know quite how to describe it. I feel like if you eat a s'more, what is the overwhelming flavor that you want to get? It's the chocolate, right? You're not saying you're not eating a s'more for the excuse to eat graham crackers.
But how big's the batch? I mean, how big is a small batch? How small is a small batch? I mean, 20 pounds of graham crackers in, you know, a really small batch. It's going to be... Absolutely, but you don't know how small the batch is, so it might get lost in it. You might not get a hint of graham crackers if the batch isn't as small as that. I don't know what counts as a small batch.
Hmm.
I have no idea.
Hmm.
You could ask someone that knows these kind of things, like Paddy's, since that's where it came
from. And also, is it 20 pounds of graham crackers, cocoa powder, and cocoa nibs? So it's just 20 pounds of random stuff. Where most of it could be graham crackers and only a tiny and a little thimble full of chocolate at the tail end of it. I don't need...
Oh, the smell is definitely familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That is a chocolate, yeah. That is a milk chocolatey smell.
Yeah, it is. Do you like s'mores? Typically, do you like s'mores? Might as well ask straight up front.
Yes.
Okay.
Short answer, yes. Okay. Long answer, I can't be bothered with the complication of the complicated process of making one.
I've had s'mores. Correct me if I'm wrong. Round at your place in one of your fireside chats.
Oh, probably.
Along with beans and beers, and I'm pretty sure you threw out the s'mores. I'm not overly familiar with them. I didn't even know what they were until I came here to this great land of yours, but it's something of actually, is it not, of a autumn or a fall thing where campfires are more, and that's not to say people don't do them, of course, in summer and winter, that'd be ridiculous. All year round people have campfires, but it's a very kind of September or October thing to sit around a campfire, is it not?
I think it is,
especially in your yard.
Us, just because it's often even too hot to do it in the middle of summer.
Right.
There's no real good time. It's the couple of days in autumn when the temperature is just perfect and you're quite happy to sit out in and out an evening. And yeah, that's usually when the nice evenings are. But I've known to definitely.
S'mores. This really smells extremely chocolatey, mate. I don't know how you've recovered completely from all your lurgy, so hopefully you'll be able to smell this.
I feel like my flavor senses are back, scent and taste. There's an argument to be made that they are both one and the same. Trying to get it all in the glass, I'm fighting a little bit with some pesky foam, but that is a good thing. And with that, because, there we go. It was a little bit amber and pale, you know? But now...
Well, it's really dark now, and very unfiltered. There's an awful lot of sea monkeys in there. That's something we haven't said for a little while. There's lots of floatage going on. I like that.
Yep.
That might be the graham crackers. Not quite ground down enough. I don't know. There's a lot going on in there. You can't see it on the... And...
It's still quite brown.
It's gone all cloudy.
It's like a cloudy brown ale.
Yeah.
Like if you held this up or clonked this down, I would say that's. I would not say, oh, that's a porter right there.
It's got a nice head. It's disappearing slowly, but it did have a good finger there.
And at 4.7, it's not going to knock your head off. I don't think. I'm hoping not. Ready? Schnell. Yep. Charles.
Got some chocolate notes. Let's give this a whirl.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Really quite chocolatey. Not like sweet as some of those Two Crows chocolate stouts we had. I mean, I'm going to have to stop saying stout because it's not a stout. However, it doesn't have that crazy sweetness that
The strong, those are mostly imperial dessert stouts, I think we had one night. That was insane.
This doesn't have it. It's still, it doesn't have the body of a thick stout either. So it's
very pleasant.
It doesn't taste, it is very pleasant. It doesn't taste thin. It doesn't have a thinness to it though, does it? I mean, this is 4.0. It's a porter, it doesn't have the richness and of a stout, but it's still got plenty of body to it.
I would give it a medium body for sure.
Okay.
Like you said, when we have porter, sometimes we say, "Ooh, that's very very thin." It tastes almost like you've just dropped a teaspoon of molasses in a lager, and it just tastes so very thin. But it's not thick. It's not heavy body. It's just right there in the middle. Just very easy to co-op. Once the chocolate has gone, so you get the chocolate as you go through, so the front and the middle, and then at the tail end, there's that graham cracker. You're right, yeah.
Yeah, isn't that nice? It's quite nice, isn't it? It's an afterthought. It says, oh, there they are.
So something.
The belt brings back the crackers. Nice. Quite like this. I wasn't sure about this, you know. I wasn't sure about whether this is going to work. You know, we've had... Just by the names of the Malone and the ingredients and the descriptions, we've had some beers that have really excited me. I don't want to go into too much detail, but of course the Twinkle thingy that North Brewing did, underwhelmed by it. And several of the ones that were I was really excited about being a sweet dessert stout, whatever, have left me kind of like, just needs a bit more sweetness. This is plenty sweet enough without being sickly or cloying.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. We happened to be in the same place at the same time, and we went out for a quick beer at Patty's, and she said, oh, we've got a new one on right now. It's the Campfire S'mores, and you hadn't had it, and you went, ooh, you know, novelty, let's try this. And my mind went, because I had been at another Patty's location, and someone had said, oh, there's the Campfire S'mores, and I went, ooh, you know, we did that thing. But when I got it on draft, or like a little tiny flavoring of it, a little tiny taste, I sort of went, it tasted very thin. In a small little sample glass. And that's why, who was I talking to? I think it was Ian Smith, Tapestry Beer Bar, A33 Sackville Drive, who said that he doesn't like to do flights. He doesn't like the taster sample. He wants to have the pint because he feels like you don't get the flavor in just the little glass. And I can see an argument for that, where we have had the little sampler, and then when we finally go about and get the big full pipe, we think, oh, this is nothing like I remember it.
I could understand that if it were poured from a can or a bottle, just to have 4 ounces poured from a receptacle, because quite often, you know, the good stuff is down the bottom, all the unfiltered stuff, which gives it the... You know, we found out that, oh, there it all is. There's all the flavor and the taste and the bits. We love all that. But if it's from a tap, I can't. What difference would there be whether or not it's a whole pint of it or 4 ounces? But theoretically, it'd be all the same. I would have thought.
The number of times that I've been, you know, out at the pub, and sometimes you have 2 or 3 pints, and they see things, and if you're there with your friends who are there even more often than you are. And you say, ooh, something's up. And they said, oh, yeah, you probably got a pint from the bottom of the keg. Or, oh, that's the top of the keg right there, because there's no, you know, huge brewmaster up there with a giant wooden spoon stirring it going,
but there should be. They should do that, especially the craft brew. They should have a man in a wizard's hat stirring it all the time and making sure that everyone gets exactly.
Certainly the stir spoon being moved by magic, because, as we both know, mechanical contraptions like that have not been invented yet, and you do have to rely solely on the ethereal.
Yep. We both know that.
But that happened, and when we tried it, you tried the sample. I can't even remember if you liked the sample or not, and I had another sample, and I kept thinking, it's watery and not quite chocolatey that I want.
What do you think now with a whole can of it? Because you're getting more sweet the further down the glass I go.
I am all for this. This is delicious. This is very good. It is not a strong, thick flavor, but no. I think I like that.
It's 4.7% as well. And so by Canadian craft brewing standards, it's kind of on the lighter side. I mean, you kind of pitch now the norm as being about 5%. So this is slightly less than that.
Yep.
But it's not tasting weak or weedy or thin at all.
No, the amount of flavor matches the alcohol percentage, matches the body of it. It's very kind of in the middle. It's not too heavy. It's not super over the top with flavor. It's just... It's there. You can tell it's there. It's not 100% of its personality, because you can taste the rest of it. Once you start kind of mellowing it around, you can say, okay, there's sort of a nice malt profile is in there as well. And it just balances quite well. It's smooth as business.
I've only got a quarter of it left, but it's better. The bottom, it's getting better all the time. It was good at the top. It's getting better as I'm going along. So I think we ought to employ a wizard to stir our glass consistently so we get the whole pint is as good. But it's sweeter the further down you go, where all the gubbins is. Ross, this is actually really good.
Creamier, maybe a little bit too.
I don't want to sound surprised. I mean, it's a Paddy's. They've been doing it for 30 years. They know what they're doing. This is... I know I had a little bit of it before, but this is better than I remember it. And
look at those bits swirling around. Look at that.
Yeah.
I have no idea what that is, but it's delicious. Graham crackers. I like that.
Graham crackers. It's so obviously print. You can see them all at the bottom.
Yeah.
In that. I mean, that's really it's outstanding there. You can see that. That's all the crackers at the bottom. Maybe that's the reason why it's so...
I think this one, it almost... Separated. It deserves a Nanaimo bar name more than Propeller's Nanaimo, because it actually has a color, there's a thickness differentiation. It's like oil and water not mixing in there. It's fascinating.
Absolutely. Yeah, we used to have... Back in the olden days, when I was a child... When we would go to the seaside, I believe you call it the coast here. No, you don't. You call it the shore.
The beach.
Different people call it different things. We're going to the shore this year, or we're going to the beach, or we're going to the coast. Whatever. They're all the same thing. We used to go to the seaside back in when I were a kid. And invariably, all these little seaside towns and villages would sell their own coloured sand. Are you familiar with that? Where... where different sands were laid in a glass or something. Okay, and that's what that was. That was so clearly. Oh, I've mixed it all up now just to prove it all. But there was layers of it there. Like you said, it was like oil on water. It was so pronounced. I've got the white now and then the brown and then this kind of graham cracker thing up at the bottom. This is a delightful surprise.
It is very nice. I would think about going back and getting some more. They might be on sale as they're getting down to the end of the batch and whatnot. I remembered this one because a good friend of mine, well, John, who's been on the show at least once before, he posted something, and he was, you know, just in our little friend group. He said, oh, having a couple cans of this. I've really enjoyed this one. And I remember thinking, really? Because I didn't, you know, honestly, it's there. You know, I've got it ready to drink. And I thought, I was not looking forward to it because I didn't like the sampler tasty bit that I had in the pub. So I wasn't.
You just, without meaning to, you just made a really clever joke when you said that, a very clever pun. You said, you want to go back and get s'mores.
We have not been making the s'mores references.
Anyway, it's s'mores, which is interesting. I did notice that. It's not s'mores. What are they saying, s'mores? It's because it's...
campfire stories.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
Because you tell campfire stories, so you've got campfire s'mores. I mean, it's clever all over. And good.
Genius.
Well done, Chris, with the limerick or the half limerick on the back. Even a half limerick impresses me. That's good. We've got some rhyming couplet on the back there.
Right, I'm really happily surprised by that. Like I said, I'm not casting any aspersions against Paddy's whatsoever, but I'm surprised that's as good as it is. That was a genuinely pleasant surprise at 4.7%, full of flavour, a decent medium bodies, like you say, but it's rich enough and it's tasty enough and it's on a cold winter's night like this, and we've had plenty of snow today. They only forecast 3 to 7 centimetres again, like they did yesterday, and it far surpassed it both days. This is the kind of beer you want to relax in front of a fire on a cold winter's night, and it really hit the spot. I want another Paddy's Campfire S'mores beer right now.
I think I've only got the one. It's plenty of other beers, plenty of other things. And, yeah. Ooh, that was the... So, okay, speaking of the weather, we were trying to get together today because there was a good chance I've got some more dessert, you know, couple of sweet-tasting stouts that I picked up at Roof Hound. Les Barsman, he's got his this year's batch of chocolate stout that's been turned into different things, and I was going to give those over to Ian, and then at some point this afternoon, I think during the fifth or sixth snowfall, the sun was about to go down, and I think you texted and said, I'm not going out in the roads, and I said, good. We should not be out of the roads right now. I'm glad we're not out on the roads. So I am sad that we don't have a third, you know, we don't have a Roof Hound cherry brandy chocolate stout, but that just means that we'll have to have that another night.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
That's a problem. We'll have to save that for another night. Oh, damn.
Oh, we'll get back to only trying two beers in a night, and that'll... And I think I'm in one of my, it is a bit of a sinusoidal wave where I hit the gullies and say, oh, we're all out of beer. We're going to finish the show and there's going to be no more beer to drink. And then and then all of a sudden we get an influx of, oh, this brewery's come out with 6 new flavors this year. And oh, these guys are doing this one. I'm like, there's too many beers for us to drink. So I was getting down into a valley of me saying, I don't know if we've got enough beers to keep going just recently. And
well, then I've messed up because, I mean, I know I went several weeks. I've gone several weeks without seeing your lovely face. But as a result, then I've probably, there's probably a few beers in that fridge of mine because I've probably still got 40 or 50 that you've already sampled. And I need to sort of either sample myself or I need to be on board with you. And I'll take a photograph of them all and say, Ross, which of these have you had while I've been busy? And maybe it'll deplete the fridge somewhere. I don't know. We'll see.
While you were not here, I didn't get you a can of this sour, but we had the mango sour IPA from Tuscott Falls, which I thought was amazing. The Electric City one, it's purple, got a big fancy triangle on it.
This is you and me had this, isn't it? Did you have the sour night?
Brittany and I had that. Did we have the wheat beers, or was that just me that with the wheat beers? I think you missed that.
No, you didn't like them, either of them.
No.
Then we've discovered that wheat beers are not our favorite. No. Down the years, I don't mind them. If someone hands me a wheat beer and says, "Here, have a wheat beer," I'm never going to say no to anything, and that includes Coors Light or Budweiser. I'm never going to say no. I'm not drinking that. If you do that, I bow to you if you can say, no, I'm not going. I'd rather just drink a glass of water. I would still rather have a glass of Coors Light and a sour. I would rather have a sour than a glass of water if I'm at a party. Everything else I would rather have in front of a sour.
Agreed. It is a sliding scale, but it is a very large scale. And I'm the exact same way. I have been accused. Some people say, oh, you're a craft beer snob. You're never going to lower yourself to having one of these. And I will say, listen, if there's a Propeller Galaxy on tap, yes, that's what I'm going to. But if I'm at, a friend's kid's second birthday party, up the way there and amongst a bunch of strangers, but the kids are all running around having a good time, and someone comes up and says, hey, will you have a beer? And I'll say, yes. I won't stand there and say, what do you have? Do you have something that's maybe malt forward, perhaps from the West Coast? If you've got a West Coast IPA, then no. But if you've got a hazy one in a New England style, then definitely. So, but a guy just said, do you want a beer? Yeah. And he came back, and I think he handed me, if I remember, what was Miller Genuine Draft. And I love the fact that draft is the noun that they landed on for what kind of beer this is.
It's funny you should mention Miller Genuine Draft, as I'm gonna just drop this in. I was in Alaska. Just going to drop that down there. Okay. In 1990. As you do. I was in Alaska.
Just in flex your travel muscles there.
on detachment. The first night I was there, there's a whole bunch of American servicemen playing volleyball out in like midnight sun in August. It was crazy. And it was my first night there. I had arrived, and they'd got together with they said, we're going to have this big sort of welcome to the Brits that are arriving, and they had this huge display of beers, and we're playing midnight volleyball, and it was all MGD, Miller Genuine Draft. That was what they were drinking there for the servicemen. It was my first. I'd heard of Miller Genuine Draft. It's a famous brew, isn't it? It's not as famous as Budweiser.
No, it's not, a big American,
but it's a big American cultural thing, an MGD. And everyone was drinking it, and I drank it that night as well. And I thought, yeah, if I was in the same way as you, I was like, oh God, I'm not sure. I don't like them. I don't like generic shitty ass beers. I'm going to say no. But everyone's so friendly, and like you say, if someone hands you a beer, you're not going to say no, I'm not going to have this, it's beneath me. You're just going to take a beer and then clink it and carry on with it. That was just my way of just dropping in that I was in Alaska, by the way.
No, I did catch at some sort of conference of men's volleyball. I'll gloss over that. That's fine. But the same thing happened to me when I got my daughter up to a birthday party. It was at a campground on a hilltop. And we climbed up the hilltop. We got there. I'm like, it was a sunny day. It was really, really hot. And someone just said, oh, do you want a beer? And I said, oh, yeah, I'd love one. Passes me a Bud Light Lime.
Okay. I'd still drink it.
And I managed to sort of go, huh. And you're Canadian. Someone hands you a plate of sick, and you will say, thanks. Thanks very much. It's very...
Not,
Very much appreciated. Yeah. Crack open my Bud Light Lime, and I tell you, after climbing a 200-meter hill, and
refreshing, right?
On a hot, swelteringly hot day, I thought this is kind of good. It hit the right spot on the right day. If we were sitting here and we had a Miller Genuine Draft and a Bud Light Lime and a Toller Gold, I know exactly what one I would choose and exactly what one I would prefer after drinking all three in quick succession. But...
So we've totally discovered that, of course we love our thick, malty, rich, sweet beers. We also love our porters, and increasingly, weirdly, we actually like IPAs.
It's getting there.
But courses for courses. On a hot summer's day, mm-hmm. maybe I'm not going to be reaching for my campfire s'mores by Paddy's. I might do, but I might be also leaning towards doing something slightly limey and more refreshing and colder and not so much flavour that I might want on a... I'm not as much a snob as I used to be, Ross. I am a beer snob. You mentioned the word. I am a beer snob because I know what's good and what isn't. But there is no beer made so far that I've said, I'm just not going to drink that. I'm not going to do it. Sorry, man. It's not good enough for me. I'm not going to drink it. That's really, in fact, that's really friggin' rude. If someone handed you a beer and said, hey, man, have a beer. And you said, no, sorry, it's beneath me.
Your beer and, is piss.
Yeah,
get it out of my face.
I'm a bigger snob than I thought I was.
Also, and your entire house is ugly.
and your wife
smells funny.
Of elderberries.
And all of the children's drawings on your refrigerator are terrible. I hope they flunk out of art school and invade Poland. It's that bad.
I have a glass in my hand. I'm slowly. This is what I'm drinking my next beer out of.
Oh. You won't let me buy you the good glasses at the liquor store. Okay, that's it. You need to throw out your Miller Genuine Draft glasses. You can have my... Because I now have two North Brewing glasses because I bought a second one because I forgot I had the first.
There is a 10-second story. A friend of mine from work came to see the show. And 2 days ago when I was on at work, he said, hey, I noticed there was a Coors Light sign at the bar on your on the show, you know, the neon sign that's lit up.
And he said, I saw the one that says live nudes, but I don't think I saw the Coors Light one. That might say more about my personality than
maybe. Anyway, and he said, I enjoyed it so much, he said, and he gave me this box. And it said Ian Granger on top, and in it was a packaged horse glass. Clearly, he must have had it stashed away somewhere and said, here, have this. Thank you so much.
Now, there's a guy who's been to a theater show or two and has decided, do I hand him flowers at the end of a performance? No. I think a pre-packaged Coors Light glass mug. Encore! Bravo! Bravo! Here, sir, please take my finest American beer glasses.
in the
mason jar lid. Look at that.
Yes.
You could cover it up and make sure that no one gets into it during a nuclear holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
Used more as weaponry than refreshment.
That's something. It's going with my glass collection.
Speaking of our beards and theater and whatnot, because you say when someone hands you something, I have managed to accept gratefully and drink with a straight face a Corona, which is I will drink a Bud Light, even though it's not very flavorful. Corona, I find, is offensive. It has an offensive flavor, and I do not like it. It actually tastes of piss. So when someone gives you a Corona, says, here you are, have a Corona, I think, So you have, and you thespian it up. You have to act like, thank you, a refreshing beer. Don't tell him I hate Corona. Glug, 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 glug. Thank you for the beer. Could I have three more? Because then I will stop worrying about how bad this tastes.
That is interesting because of all the non-alcoholic offerings that I've tried, I think non-alcoholic Corona 0.0, whatever it's called, is the closest to its alcoholic big brother. That might be, like you said, because it tastes like piss. I don't know, but the Corona Light, or no, sorry, not Corona Light, Corona Zero, I think is perfectly fine. You know, when you normally drink a de-alcoholized beer, there's just like, you're like, well, I know what it is. I'm expecting to get no flavor from it, but and you're never disappointed because very few of them have any flavor whatsoever. This one, for some reason, and they were selling it at Wayfarers. Wayfarers. That's the first time I tried it. I was like, this is actually not terrible. And usually, de-alcoholized beers are pretty terrible. Guinness and Corona seem to be the closest to their alcoholized big brother. You know, in my experience,
maybe we should have done that for dry January. I mean, I know dry January is a thing, but I didn't bother with it. But I feel like we need, you have mentioned it, and I believe I shot you down immediately for saying we need to get the de-alcoholized ones and try those ones out. And I said, that sounds intolerable. I want no part of it. But I'm now realizing maybe we should, you know, go into the old grocery store, because I know, I'm pretty sure Nine Locks has a low percentage blonde. I think they've got a version of the Dirty Blonde. I could be wrong.
Low, the lights rather than de-alcoholized. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, maybe just that. Okay. Yeah. But go into the de-alcoholized, because I think there's a couple. We'll figure it out. We'll get in there. But I worry that if we get so good, you and I, at acting, because, I mean, obviously, and if I can show somebody that I'm enjoying the Corona that they've given me, what, does everyone just kind of have to trust us that we're giving our honest opinions right now? I mean, there is a...
I thought you were going to say there for 1 moment, if we get so good at reviewing beers, and I thought, well, we're no better now than we were 200 episodes ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
I still can't... No, I'm still rubbish at it. But I thought that's where I thought you were going with that.
We are such good actors, you and I, that we could probably, this the entirety, all, you know, three, however many hundred beers that we've had, could be, you know, we didn't like any of this. We don't actually like beer whatsoever. We're drinking various shades of apple juice over here on the side. And no one can tell the difference. And then we just said, oh, yum. Oh, this is good. Yum. Tasty, tasty, tasty. And then, sorry, that's me acting right there. So that gives you an indication as to how good / bad I might be. But can anyone believe that we are authentic? And we just have to say, trust us, we're being authentic, despite the fact that we are amazing actors and thespians.
Yeah, Shakespeareans. Yeah. Well, maybe.
I have to trust. Anyway. Propeller, leaving a tiny little snoot, despite the fact that, I mean, wait, we're not really comparing it. Are we comparing the porter with the stout? Shall I just have the last drink of the propeller? Did you?
I did leave a little bit, just because it's quite delicious, and if this doesn't work out right for the peanut butter cup, then at least I've
then
got
at least
that.
You've got a flavor at the end. That is a good plan. So, from Propeller Brewing Company, there is a dessert stout. It does say a 5.8% strong beer for some reason, even though it's not all that strong. But the peanut butter cup dessert stout, I did find this in a local store. I found this around Christmas time, and I wondered if this was meant to be a Christmas beer. Didn't say anything about Christmas on the can. It does say, no wrappers needed for this melt-in-your-mouth peanut butter cup dessert stout brewed with flaked oats, chocolate malt, and roasted barley. The layers of milk chocolate and peanut butter unfold to reveal a rich, robust stout.
Yeah. What are those things called? The peanut butter. What's the company that makes those, Ross?
Reese's?
Reese's. It looks like a Reese's piece. Very much so.
Oh, dear. Remember how we got the chocolate immediately off the opening the can of the Campfire S'mores?
And you're not from this.
No peanut butter, no chocolate.
No, it's very subtle.
if it's there, it's weaker than the other.
It's very subtle. It's a stronger beer, of course.
5.8.
Yeah, it's not smacking me in the face, but there is, without the explanation, I still would have leaned towards it being chocolatey. Now it's in. Now there's a. I tell you what, there's a nice head going on there.
It is, but it's not. It's not a thick stout, is it? Dessert stout. I'm kind of expecting this to be all velvety and whatnot. I mean, the head. You're right. The head on it is delectable.
Yes. Yeah, it looks great. It looks very smooth. Mm. It's the same kind of colour, maybe a tad darker than the porter once it was poured. I'm not finished the whole thing. And, of course, I've already established that this is a 20-ounce Coors mug I'm pouring this into. So I'm going to get the whole thing in with no problem whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. This is my 20-ounce propeller glass.
The head is so creamy.
Yep.
I want a spoon out like an ice cream.
It is a bit like an ice cream flute.
I just, even the froth. If you can't smell a massive amount of chocolate and peanut in there, well, I've just had a finger of head. And it's in there, mate.
Okay, I'm getting a bit off the smell. But again, smell does not make taste, and taste does not make smell, which is why a number of these beers, when they're describing themselves, they talk about here's what the smell is, and then here's what the taste is, because they're two quite distinct things going on.
Absolutely.
I don't think this mentioned the difference between the two. Just said this is what it was brewed with. Reveal a rich, robust stout. Well,
I don't want to.
It's all in there now.
I love Propeller beers. I think I'm going to have to throw both my hands in the air and say, if I were to award my Granger gold medal in Nova Scotia for consistently displaying really, really nice beers, I know that some of them have done some. Award-winning beers have been displayed across Nova Scotia. What they're called, Boxing Rock. Been very well merited recently. But Propeller, just consistently, no matter what I try from them, I really like them. And yet, of course, they've been doing it for sort of close on 30 years as well, haven't they? Or even longer than that?
Do you know what's fun? Doth say they are the first... distributable craft brewery in the province, but quietly in the back is Patty saying, we've been serving our own beer longer than anybody else around.
And Propeller and Garrison, I think, both started in 97, did they? And Patty's in 95, so they're close on 30 years.
Yeah, very
something like that.
Very close in there.
I'll tell you what, I'm getting the full smell from it now. And I just had a finger of the froth as well. And yeah, I think there's plenty of flavor in this.
I'm smelling more chocolate orange in this than anything, honestly.
Oh, gosh, I like the froth. I'm just licking the froth. Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's rich, robust, like they said.
Mm-hmm.
And look. I've been eating peanuts, and that's not the smartest thing to do when you're about to have a peanut butter cup, but I can still taste peanuts.
You say that, but chocolate up front, bit of a roasty. I'm on it. For some reason, I'm getting a chocolate orange flavor from the chocolate. Oh, and then really? I really have to flex my taste buds to get the peanut butter out of that.
Interesting.
Interesting.
I am...
It's there. It's way at the back. Mmm. Very smooth, very delicious. Roasty. Yes. Brewed with flaked oats. Okay, so an oatmeal stout. Lovely. Gets the creaminess in there. Chocolate malt. Roasted barley. Yop. Layers of milk chocolate and peanut butter unfold. Mm-hmm. Not exactly. It's good, but I was kind of expecting a bit more of a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup punch.
Okay, well, the back end, there's a residual nuttiness to it.
Yeah.
It's the chocolate and the roasted malt are definitely the winners in the flavor profile.
Yeah.
The peanuts are subtle, but I'm definitely getting them. And like I said, that's without the fact that for some reason I always have to sit here with a bowl of peanuts when I'm doing my beers. I don't know why. I just really enjoy having a bowl of peanuts with my beer. It's still there though. I'm still getting it. Orange. I don't know.
I'm really getting that in the early part of the mouthfeel.
Okay.
The up front is this little very chocolate orangey emphasis on the orange zest, and then the middle of the body, orange zest. It's that sweetness.
But
leans
if that's the case, Ross, does it add to it? Do you just the fact that they haven't mentioned it? If you've got notes of that, does it add to it? Do you really enjoy this?
Yeah, but it confuses the hell out of me because we've had the Propeller orange chocolate, and it wasn't this chocolatey or orangey. Putting the two beers in the different cans, I'd probably be more pleased right now. This is a disappointing peanut butter cup. It is a delicious chocolate orangey stout. And I don't get that.
So it's not doing it, but it says on the tin.
I don't think... The
can is orange.
Oh, that must be it.
That's it.
With the peanut butter cups along the top. All around the top.
Also, it's quite delicious.
I have to admire the beautiful the s'mores with the campfire on the Patty's can there as well. And if I do remember correctly, it was Chris saying that he himself is designing everything, the new cans. Oh. So that's the same as that. Remember that the Japanese rice lager, which was a very elaborate. Oh, what was the name of that thing? That was such a good title. Oh, I have to find that now. There it is. At last, finding peace, the final petals of snow fade for new blossoms was the name of the Japanese rice lager.
Right.
Oh, right.
This is rich and thick and malty.
It's not overly rich, though. It's not undrinkable.
No, I'm not saying it's overly rich, but it's almost 6%. It's thicker. It's richer. It's chocolatey without being too oversweet, cloying that sometimes they can be.
Mm.
And I like a stout to be. When it says chocolate, I want to get some sweetness there. I want to have some chocolate. And it certainly does it without being overpowering. There is a lingering peanuttiness to me, but it's really at the back end. Orange-wise, I'm not getting... Then lucky you, because if you've got orange in there as well, then great. I like this a lot too. I was going to. I don't think this was ever going to be I don't like any either of those, because they're darker, maltier, sweeter winter ales, and I love them.
I've been burned by both these companies. Your Propeller, I feel, don't put enough flavor in, because it's... And when you're making huge batches for everybody, then there's a bit of a don't go to the extreme, because then you alienate palates at either end. And Patty's occasionally is kind of a whoops. But honestly, pretty much all the stuff I should have believed in Chris, our new buddy Chris, the young brewer from BC, because everything that he's been putting his hand in is delicious. But I again. On tap in a small glass, it didn't blow my skirt up, for lack of any other reference that I could think of.
Oh, that's right.
But this peanut butter cup, I love the can. I love what it tells me. Everything visually about this gives me a flavor that I'm going to get in my mouth, and I'm not getting beer.
Is it not sweet enough?
No.
And you're not getting enough peanuts?
No.
Interesting.
It is, okay. But if someone said, "Ooh, subtle chocolate orange stout," I would say,
"Yeah,
bang on." Incredible.
Would you have another? I'm sure you would.
Probably. Yeah. Because if I'm drinking this anywhere, chances are this is the most interesting thing there.
Yeah.
And it'd be difficult to get something else.
Would you want it sweeter? I wouldn't. I would. I still want a beer. I don't want a beer to be. Okay. You want it a little bit more.
A little bit more.
Like.
Up to your teeth hurt, kind of sweetness. Up to that. Not quite there, but near. Because honestly, if you switch back, here we go. Here's the patties.
Yep.
Get a mouthful of that in you.
I can smell it. Look, without even tasting it, it actually smells sweeter.
That sweet. Mm. Still, not making you say, oh, that's going to... It's not a cavity beer. You know, it's not immediately rotting out your teeth. But it's got a bit more to it than this Propeller. And I feel like Nine Locks has the... Between Nine Locks and Garrison and Propeller, who I would say are the largest producing batches beer companies, I think Nine Locks has the greater propensity to have a very full-flavored beer. They have more full-flavored beers, even in their large batch releases. And Garrison would be a close second. And Propeller is a close third. They're all very close. But Propeller... When they say something tastes like something, I believe it the least that it's going to be a full flavor. You know?
Interesting. Yeah.
Where Nine Locks, if they say, hey, this is a watermelon ale, I'm going to say, you know what? I bet that's going to taste like watermelon and there is no mistaking it. This is the problem. If you give this to someone and say, that's a peanut butter cup dessert stout, there is mistaking this. If this landed on your table after you ordered the peanut butter cup dessert stout, and you said, "Are you sure this isn't the just the regular stout?"
So if you're going to mark it, then if you're going to grade this beer purely on what it says on the can, then you're not going to grade it particularly highly.
The Propeller.
Interesting.
7. Mm-hmm. I think a 7 out of 10. I think a 7 out of 10 is generous. It is tasty. It is delicious. I would drink more of this, and it's very smooth. It's a very good beer, but it doesn't do what it says. The s'mores, however, does exactly what it says it's going to do, even as a porter, and I think I appreciate that more, where the porter comes through and says, you know what, it's kind of a bit more light-bodied. It's light-bodied, but not light-flavored. It doesn't... It manages to get all of the flavor in there without having to sacrifice on the body of the beer. So this is one of the more...
does what it says on the...
bodied or well-bodied porters I think we've had in a while. So this is... The porter from Patty's is definitely a 9.3, 9.4, getting up there.
Hell, Ross, you are very generous with your scoring. I
just gave the other one a 7, and you love it. So no, you can't tell me that.
Okay. I think actually, I slightly prefer the Campfire S'mores, because it's a little bit more unique. It's a little bit more unusual, and I love the fact that it's got all this floaty shit going on at the end of it. and it makes it really, really, really different. Mm. The Propeller's Peanut Butter Cup is a nice dessert stout, and I could drink plenty of it. Thank you very much. I really could. But I think Campfire S'more is just because it's a little more out there. Wins it by a nose. I would say 8 to 7.5, just in favour of Paddy's Brewing, and I'm really pleased because it's out. It's one of our locals, and I like flying their flag. There's some really good stuff. There's some really good stuff that they do. I like them.
Speaking of, but not speaking of, I will make a tiny little point. Oh no, we talked about this last week as well, because when, no wait, two, holy crap, yeah, 2 weeks ago, when I picked up some sours and Brittany and I were trying the sours. The sours coming out of Wayfarers Ale Society down just, you know, a stone's throw from Meows. And they have changed names. They are doing the full rebrand since the changing of management and whatnot. And we've got, you know, their second Matt, or well, Matt the brewer, and they've got some other managers coming in as well. But they're changing around entirely to Bay of Fundy Brewing, I think. BOFB. Okay. Bring our friggin' beer. I don't know. So I've been messing with different ways to acronymize that one. But so leaving Wayfarers behind and switching over to Bay of Fundy Brewing, which is, I'm excited because that means that I get to go buy a new pint glass. Have yet another pint glass from a new place. And see what Matt's going to do with some of it. He brought out that cranberry sour, and honestly, I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. I think you should try a splash of it the next time you're in.
Are they going to literally just throw their existing beers into different cans, or are they looking? Did they say they're looking at maybe looking at recipes again? Because they did. They've done that several times in the last 2 or 3 years.
Well, we know that when it changed hands last spring and they brought in Matt and Lisa as co-managers, who Matt and Lisa came in and they became the co-managers. Lisa, who had brewing experience, she came in and tried most of the recipes and then said, these ones need tweaking. I believe they left the Helene Blonde alone. And I think they tweaked one of the IPAs. They tweaked the stout, the Muddy Bog Stout.
Muddy Bog, yeah.
I love the changes that she made to that one. And there's a few others. They mostly because when they came in, for some reason, certain of the recipes were lost. No one knew how to make certain ones of them. So she had to just basically invent recipes for what they were. The Southbound Wheat Rattler, for example, was one of them.
You like that?
I loved it before. The new one, I'm sort of, don't really, and it'll never be the same as it was before. So that one is lost to time, and I'm fine with it. But I will happily accept that because the new stout is where I now get a local stout that's very tasty. And so when Matt and Lisa, sort of took over as the brewer, but they brought in a new brewer. So they brought in Matt. Yeah, I know I'm throwing the word Matt around a lot. So Matt and Lisa came in as the co-managers, and then Lisa changed the recipes and updated everything, and they brought in Matt as the brewer. So Matt the brewer had Lisa's recipes to now go on. So Matt's got Lisa's recipes, and then Lisa and her husband Matt, they then have also left within a year of being brought in as the new co-manager. So now we've got the new manager whose name, Paul, I think. He introduced himself to me. I'm neck deep in Wayfarers, not because, you know, they don't sponsor anything over here, but I do a music thing down there that the closest and most local to me. I mean, honestly, I've thought about reaching out to Steve Crane and saying, hey, do you guys want some other music stuff going on at the Port Pub? Because I've got all the free time in the world. Let's do more silly crap like that. I'll host an open mic, whatever you want.
They are your closest. They're on your doorstep. They're a sort of 12-minute walk, are they? Something like that?
Yeah, about that. So they're right down there. In fact, this coming Sunday, if you're watching us live, February the 2nd, Groundhog Day, is a jam session. If you're in the available location of Port Williams at the Wayfarers location, which is now Bay of Fundy Brewing, and I've done the search on this. I think it's still the same thing. And it'll take like 8 years for Google Maps to update itself, but there's live music available from 2 to 5.
2 to 5. I'm working, of course. Sunday is my day to work.
Yeah, and I knew that because I've got my daughter. I've got my daughter around. Yeah. So she's. Yeah.
You know what that means for me. Ross, I love sweet beers. Neither of these were too sweet for me. Mm. The toot sweet British French. Campfire S'mores wins it by news. We've got plenty more, I think, stouts, sweetie affairs. So we can visit in the not too distant future, maybe another night before it starts to heat up and all of a sudden it's 80 degrees and we're like, oh God, we don't want sweet dessert stouts. So maybe we can get them done and dusted before spring arrives.
I dare say I will still drink a sweet dessert stout in July. Maybe not at noon.
Not as much.
10 p.m. I'll have a sweet dessert stout. The next thing I need to put on my beer kit, my next beer kit.
Yes.
Which is upstairs, I think. Because I got this time, so the first kit was an Irish stout, and we...
We
couldn't quite do the thing, and the alcohol... It's delicious. I argue it's delicious, but the alcohol percentage is something like 2. Because I've tried drinking too much of that, and all I get is full. I've just had 5 pints of stout. I cannot move.
That's perfect. Then you can market it as that. If you can recreate it and market it as that.
It's a low alcohol stout. You can have this. And so what I went down, my friends were having a board game night down in Tantallon. And I said, I will bring down my stout that I made and everyone can try it. And they said, what are you drinking? And I said, I am drinking my stout because I know that I can drink 5 bottles of this and drive home clear headed. No problems there. But the new one, Brittany showed me the website that she got it, so I know that I'm getting, and it's got all the ingredients. It's the same thing. It's pour in the hops and do the mash and do the everything. And I've got a black IPA.
Ooh, very right. Exciting.
Right?
Yeah, become fans of that.
Most black IPA. Low alcohol, low ABV stout. I wanted to go the other way, so I'm like, let's see. Yeah, maybe a black IPA might be up towards the 6s and the 7s. It'd be fun.
Black IPA, wonderful.
And wonderful. Yeah, I like that one. Oh, there are options like an English Peculiar, and I went woo. So it was very difficult not to choose that. In fact, I thought I chose that until it arrived, and I went, oh, apparently I went with Black IPA. Well, fair enough.
Oh yeah, the Peculiars I love. Theakston's Old Peculiar is one of my favourite beers in the UK from Yorkshire. That's a delicious pint. I've had several of those Peculiars. In fact, I think I made one. Only a few months ago, I think I did a Peculiar. It was perfectly fine.
Back down to Arcade Brewing down in Dartmouth. They've got, I'm fairly certain, a flagship English Peculiar. So I want to get down and try that because I think Arcade Brewing is also part of Brew HQ, but don't quote me on this. So Brew HQ, much like Noble Grape up here, is a place where you go in with your recipe and you brew it there on premises. But I think they also have their own brewing thing that they also produce some beers themselves. So I need to go into their premises. I need to talk to these guys once again. Have I emailed them? I don't remember.
I'm going to take two little fingers worth of beer and go and mollycoddle them in the corner. Ross, I'm out of here. Good night.
I'm now wrist deep in trying to get in contact with all my other brewers that I want to talk to, but we are here. Suddenly I'm getting a whiff of peanuts and it's not from the beer, sadly. I'm getting a whiff of peanuts and peanut butter cup. I think Propeller was hoping that there was a sensory memory thing going on, and you just think about peanut butter cups as you were drinking it. Sadly, not the case. We're here every Wednesday evening, 8 to 9 p.m. at our YouTube page. You can check out at youtube.com/@drinkns. You can find our podcast and all the podcasty places. You can go straight to the source, drinkns.unsupervised.beer. I want to thank my co-host Ian for being here, Patty's Brew Pub for brewing this s'mores one, and Propeller Brewing Company for brewing the Peanut Butter Cup, where it wasn't my favorite, but I still think it is a very delicious beer outside of the description. As well as for things. So thanks, everyone, for stopping in and watching our little thing, and we will hopefully see you again next week. Good night, everyone, and stay safe out there in the snow.